Good morning, everybody.
Morning, Polly.
Can we have none of this socialising, please? Talking to one another. Anyone think you're happy to see each other? It is funny, isn't it? And Joe, it's lovely to see people today. I said to Sally as I came in, lovely to see her. I don't think I've seen Sally face to face for over a year. And it's just lovely to be back, isn't it? And to start to feel like we're getting to some normality. Put your hand up if you've now had two jabs. Ooh, it's starting to get there. It's starting to get there. Put your hand up if you've just had your one jab.
Second this week.
We are all getting there. And doesn't that feel better? And I'm just thankful for the NHS and all that they've been doing. Absolutely incredible. And you look at other parts of the world, you think, you know what, we may have got some things wrong, but the vaccination programs have got right. Just thank God that the scientists and all those people who've been doing everything. I had my second jab this week, and as I went to QA for it, it's a bit of a lottery who you get when they're jabbing you, isn't it? And you sort of go in, and I had the same person I had last time.
Oh, wow.
And I said, you did my first jab. She said, did I? And I remembered her because she was a staff nurse at the hospital and she used to be in foster care. So we had a really lovely conversation. And then we sort of picked up our conversation this time. I said, yeah, when you jabbed me the first time, she said, how was it? So didn't feel a thing. Ooh, I've got something to live up to. But yeah, absolutely lovely. So, yeah. As we come together today, I'm just going to ask Max to come up first for the family news, because he did try to tell me and I said, I won't remember. So Max.
Good morning.
Just before I forget, have a feel about how warm it is outside at the moment. And in future, if you think, oh, if I was outside, I'd need a coat on, bring it with you. Because we were just having a chat, a couple of us, and I've made this radical immediate decision that if we can, without warning, we may have church in the car park. And the reason for this is, if we're in the car park, we can sing. Have you seen the fear that's come over Roger's and Polly's face now, is it? We'll work it out, okay? But what I'm saying is that this might... I'm not going to say we're going to do it next week. Well, if the weather's good, we might just suddenly do it. So if you're thinking, oh, maybe I'll take a jumper today or something, just in case, take it. So we'll see what happens. And, of course, in July, we can do that anyway. Have you seen these outside? If you didn't pick up one of these last week, one of these Christian Aid, I think this year of all years, Christian Aid... with governments around the world withdrawing their foreign aid is crucial. So if you feel you can contribute towards Christian aid? If you can contribute towards my Christmas, that'd be great. No, if you can contribute towards Christian aid, that would be awesome. And also to say on your notice sheet, which you may get by email or pick up one from your... In there you will see that this week on Thursday, which is what day? Ascension Day. You are a proper Anglican, some of you, aren't you? This week on Thursday, Thy Kingdom Come starts. Now, Thy Kingdom Come runs between Thursday, Ascension Day, right through to Pentecost. And it's a call from the archbishops for us to pray for God's kingdom to come in our areas. For those people that don't yet know the love of Jesus, to receive that and to walk forward in that. And we've been praying a lot for that. We pray for that every Wednesday morning when we pray in our parish prayer. But that starts this week. So if nothing else, if you don't do anything that I'm about to say, just remember Thursday to a week on Sunday is Thy Kingdom Come. And just pick a couple of people, maybe up to five people, maybe, that you know, that don't yet know Jesus, and just pray for them to come to know. Now, I can testify that I will be baptized in my brother on the 23rd of May, and he's been one of my five people that I've been praying for. Now, he's on a journey. He's not completely there yet, but he's got to the point on that journey where he wants to be baptized. Prayer works. In addition to that, every day. Where's Emily? I've lost her. She was there a moment ago. There you go. Emily, who you know is on placement with us at the moment, will be issuing five to seven minute type daily reflections, which will be on our website and will be on Facebook if you do that. And they're just, you know, 5 minute sit downs just to pray in a slightly different way each day during that time. So they're brilliant. I've seen them because I've put them up on the web. They're great just to reflect to. And of course, the other thing that Emily's doing for us this year as well is putting some prayer stations around St. Thomas's. So you can go along to St. Thomas's on your own and just go around the prayer stations and pray as you feel led by God and His Holy Spirit. That's open between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. The whole week, during the whole time during Thy Kingdom Come. So both during the week and at weekends. Other than that, you've got your sheet. I'm going to hand you back to Polly.
Thank you, Max. Okay, as we come to worship today, let's just take a moment to pause. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
This is a day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Christ is risen. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Oh, thank you, Tracy. Lord Jesus, set our hearts on fire with your love, that with joy and thankfulness in our hearts, we, your followers, may once again set out inspired by the message of the cross and the joy of Easter Day.
Amen. Amen.
We started off talking about some things we can give thanks to God for. It's great to hear about Max's brother, isn't it? An answer to prayer there. So we're going to sing now, give thanks to the Lord, our God and our King.
Come to the beginning. is built on nothing. In your faithfulness, your faithfulness. Acting on Christ and Christ alone. I'm hoping in you. Hoping in you. And I'm counting on your name. Counting on your name. Counting on your name to save. I'm trusting you the way. Trusting you the way. Trusting you the way. What you say. I believe. I believe. I believe you are.
We are not just once a week friends. We are
a family of God.
We are not a cozy club.
We are the body of Christ.
We are not simply strangers meeting.
We are temples of the Holy Spirit.
We are not here by accident.
Our Father has called us to worship.
We are not just filling up an hour.
Jesus wants us to know him better.
We are not here just to go through the motions.
The Holy Spirit has some special words for us.
We meet in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now normally at this point in the service, I would come and ask us to do a confession. And it is really good to come and confess things that we have done as part of the service, but we're just changing things around today, and the confession will come later, so don't think I've forgotten it, it is coming. And I'm just going to read for you Psalm 36. I have a message from God in my heart concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. There is no fear of God before their eyes. In their own eyes, they flatter themselves too much to detect or hate their sin. The words of their mouths are wicked and deceitful. They fail to act wisely or to do good. Even on their beds, they plot evil. They commit themselves to a sinful course and do not reject what is wrong. Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains, your justice like the great deep. You, Lord, preserve both people and animals. How priceless is your unfailing love, O Lord. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast in the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Continue your love to those who know you, your righteousness to the upright in heart. May the foot of the proud not come against me, nor the hand of the wicked drive me away. See how the evildoers lie fallen, thrown down, not able to rise. And now I'm going to ask you to join with me in saying the words of the Creed. But I'm going to ask you to stand up, because I think sometimes we're a bit passive in these services because we can't see. Sometimes it's good to actually change position. And let's join together in what we believe. I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And as you take your seats, Tracy and then Linda will come and read to us, and then Max is going to come and read to us. The first reading this morning is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 to 13. Samuel anoints David. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul? Since I have rejected him as king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived in Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then made Shammah pass by him. But Samuel said, Nor has the Lord chosen this one. Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he went and had him brought in. He was ruddy, with a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. He is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Samuel then went on to Ramah. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today's second reading is from Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 to 37. Jesse and the Asper. Then they brought him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him so that he could both talk and see. All the people were astonished and said, "Could this be the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, "It is only by the Asper, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons." Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your people drive out them? So then, they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless first he ties up the strong man, then he can rob his house? He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. So I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven then, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, who are evil, see anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings out evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that the men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, guys. Isn't it funny how
our childhood memories, just some of them just never leave us? I can't read that passage without reading Beelzebul and go straight back to a primary school play where I had to say Beelzebub and couldn't say it. Isn't it funny, these things, you know, we carry these things around, don't we? Let's take a moment just to pray and ask for the Holy Spirit, who I really feel this morning, as I was sitting back there, just feeling the weight of the Holy Spirit on us. Let's just take a moment to invite him to speak to us this morning. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you speak directly to us. You are our helper, our advocate. Thank you that you come direct. Might you now speak to us directly to our hearts and our minds. Might you take what I've prepared, empty it of me, and use it for your glory. Might we know your will for our lives. Amen. I think this morning I'm not sure if it's someone watching on the internet or someone here today, but I think this morning will be a day for someone. Just that little nudge. Hopefully it's not of me, hopefully it's of the Spirit. I don't know about you, but I love this book. I find actually this book in many ways is similar to the relationship I had with my father. I hold it in awe and have great respect for it. Other times it frustrates me and confuses me. Then there are times, of course, when I realise that we haven't spent much time together recently. Of course, when we do spend time together, often my mind is being dragged away to the other things that I need to be doing. But ultimately, it is a trusted and loved guide. I imagine you've got your own views on the Bible. Perhaps you have similar feelings to me about Scripture. Perhaps you love them at times, and other times you struggle with what the Bible seems to say that you must do. Or maybe you're just simply confused by it. In our house, we have a favourite TV series called The West Wing, if any of you have watched The West Wing. 7 glorious seasons of the American White House with President Jed Bartlet. We were watching it, funny enough, only last night. But as well as the president and all his staff in there is this one chap, a grumpy Jewish chap, a sage, called Toby. And Toby was once asked, Toby, do you believe the Bible to be literally true? And in classic Toby response, he said, yes, sir, but I don't think either of us is smart enough to understand it. I mean, I could speak a sermon on those words, let alone. But we continue now our meander through the Gospel of Matthew. I raise that up because, I mean, where do you start with today's passage? I mean, you know, what idiot put that in as one passage? Oh, that would be me, wouldn't it? But where do you start with it? Healings, demons, evil spirits. I mean, many people read stories like this from Jesus of his life and read about, you know, healings and evil spirits and demons, and they dismiss it out of hand because their life has no reference point for that. They just say things like, he was a good teacher. That's a nice story. But that was for then, and we know better now. That's one mistake they make. The second mistake they can make when they read those sort of stories is to take them literally. Now, don't worry about this too much. But when someone hears words like, anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, they can take those words literally and assume that, you know, oh, I once said Jesus Christ as a swear word. God won't ever forgive me, so I might as well carry on. And you may think I'm over-egging this. I don't know about Peter, but I have sat with people who have said those things to me. Oh, I've sinned against the Holy Spirit. I've said, you know, swear words against Jesus, so he won't want to know me. And I've prayed through that with them. It's very easy to make one or other of these mistakes. And you know, there's nothing wrong with taking the Bible literally. In fact, I'd encourage you to take the Bible very seriously. Just like my friend, I think none of us are quite intelligent enough to understand what literally means. What we are better to do is to take the Bible readings in context, in the context of the culture that they were spoken into. What was the culture like that they were spoken into? Into the context of the holistic message of the overarching story of the Bible. What is the overarching message of the Bible? And into the context of the literature of the particular book. Poetry, historic, or historic biography, or just history in itself. Many different kinds of literature in the Bible. It's not just one style of writing. And then once we can do that, we can then pray to the Holy Spirit about what it means to live that out in our context. And we don't get to dismiss Scripture just because we don't like the message. We don't get to say, oh, that was for then and this is for now. We need to delve deeper. Of course, none of this is straightforward, as Toby suggests. It's not easy sometimes. If I'm real with you, in the past I have said things like, the Bible is easy to understand. And yes, it is mostly, but not always. And so let's delve into today's passage, given that as a background. A brief reminder of the Gospel of Matthew and its literary style. It is historic biography, and like the other synoptic Gospels, Mark and Luke, we see the story of Jesus. Matthew's aim is to remind us that Jesus is the new Moses, if you remember. Speaking into their context at the time, Moses was really important. Quite rightly, he is still today. And so Matthew's aim is to remind us that Jesus is God with us. He is with us, and he is the new Moses. Now hold on to that idea as we look at the second context. Where does our story happen? It happens in a country which is occupied by a foreign nation, the Romans. It happens at a time when Jesus is beginning to be known for all the wrong reasons. We're about just under halfway through the gospel at the moment, aren't we? And Jesus is suddenly beginning to get known for the wrong reasons. It happens in a context where there is the ruling elite who, if only they can keep the people quiet, if only they can keep the people controlled and understanding that they have to go through them to get to God, They can keep the Romans happy and also have their own empire. We call them the Pharisees, don't we? And then it happens in a context where Jesus has just finished preaching about what it means to go directly to God, what it means to experience God for yourself and see his kingdom come in your life. So far we've got Jesus, who is the new Moses, going directly to God. We've got Jesus winding up the elite, the religious leaders. And then finally, we've got this context of the overarching story of the Bible. The overarching story of the Bible. See, the Bible is Gone with the Wind. The Bible is Lord of the Rings. And it's even the Avengers. It's a true love story of God seeking us, his people. It's a classic journey from beginning to end, where we journey, where the friends journey towards and with Jesus, with evil around us. It's a rescue mission when we see Jesus come for you and I. And we see all of that in the context of our passage today. We see the ruling elite say that Jesus is a joke. He couldn't have done all these healings on his own. It must be Beelzebub. He must be the evil one. At some point, we really need to spend some more time on this concept of demons and evil ones, because I think we, even as Christians, we dismiss it too easily. But that is not what the Holy Spirit has been nudging me about this week. Because this one simple area that the Holy Spirit's been speaking to me about is this warning that Jesus gives to that ruling elite and to others who don't yet know him. Now remember, Jesus is God with us. He's been attacked by the ruling elite. Remember that we have access to God directly because of what Jesus did. And God's story has been a story of love as he seeks for us, as he's desperate for us to turn to him. And then let me reread to you the passage that was read so well earlier on, but this time from the translation we call the Message. This is war. There is no neutral ground. If you're not on my side, you're the enemy. If you're not helping, you're making things worse. There's nothing done or said that can't be forgiven. But if you deliberately persist in your slanders against God, you are reprobating the very one who forgives. If you reject the Son of Man out of some misunderstanding, the Holy Spirit can forgive you. But when you reject the Holy Spirit, you'll saw off the branch on which you're sitting, severing by your own perversity all connection with the one who forgives. If you grow a healthy tree, you'll pick healthy fruit. If you grow a diseased tree, you will pick worm-eaten fruit, the fruit that tells you about the tree. You have minds like a snake pit. How do you suppose what you say is worth anything when you are so foul-minded? It's your heart, not the dictionary, that gives the meaning to your words. A good person produces good deeds and words season after season. An evil person is a blight on the orchard. Let me tell you something. Every one of these careless words is going to come back to haunt you. There will be a time of reckoning. Words are powerful. Take them seriously. Words can be your salvation. Words can also be your damnation. This is a battle, people. What we have, thy kingdom come. It's what we pray for our brothers and our sisters. It's what we pray for our friends. It's a battle. But there isn't one single thing that the Holy Spirit can't forgive. Jesus says only a continuous decision to walk away from him is a thing that won't be forgiven. Because we don't have a dictator God who insists that you follow him. We have a God who loves you and wants you to love him. Someone who wants you to take him seriously. Someone who wants others to take him seriously, so that they might receive forgiveness and not refuse it. If someone makes that decision, they will be welcomed in. Sadly, many choose not to. In 2015, Donald Trump had been explaining quite how important his faith was to him. When the interviewer said, "Have you ever asked God for forgiveness?" Trump said, "I'm not sure I have. I just go on and try and do a better job from there. I don't think so. I think if I do something wrong, I think I just try and make it right. I don't bring God into that picture, I don't." Interesting. And then even a year later, he was asked if he regretted that answer. But of course, he's Donald Trump, so he didn't. "I like to be good. I don't like to have to ask for forgiveness. And I am good. I don't do a lot of things that are bad. I try to do nothing that is bad." Now, I'm not Donald Trump's judge. Far from it. I've got plenty of my own issues. But for me, that is a classic tactic of the evil one, the devil, the evil in our society. "I'm okay. I'm basically a nice person. I even go to church occasionally. I might even go to church every week. I try to live by the teaching of Jesus." Even sounds a bit Christian, doesn't it? A little Pharisaic, maybe. But let's be clear. It's deceit. It is evil wolves in sheep's clothing, dressed up in all of its finery to deceive. Now, I chose the story of Samuel choosing David as king, or God choosing David through Samuel, because it reminds us of the kind of people that God is looking for. "Do not consider his appearance or his height. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." You see, it doesn't matter if you were the President of the United States or if you are a year one pupil in Bibury Infant School. It doesn't matter how you look. God looks upon our heart and upon the heart of those out there. He's not looking for people that look good. He's looking for people who are willing to repent, to turn away from their mistakes and their sins and to turn to him. And Jesus said several thousand years ago, "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." As we head into thy kingdom come and we pray for those who yet are to make a decision to walk towards Jesus, who are currently being deceived by much that is out there, the evil in our world. The question for not only them, but also for us today is, what is our heart full of? This is our chance to repent and to turn to him. I think Polly and Micah are going to play a song for us now to reflect upon that. And then Polly will lead us afterwards in an opportunity to repent and turn to him. And we can do that here. We can do that if we're watching this on the internet. We can do that any time we choose. But we must do it.
That you have my heart,
Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight.
We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Which Max hadn't completely forgotten about. Just to say before we do pray to our God, or continue to pray, actually, because I think much of what we've been doing today has already been prayer. I was meeting with my three blokes yesterday that I meet with, who I keep accountable with on a Saturday morning, and we were just reminiscing how our journey of prayer in that had grown over the years, in that actually much of what we do now is, in terms of formal prayer, is just to hand it over to God at the end of our time together, because God is with us through that whole time together. That whole time, that hour and a half we spend on a Saturday morning, is prayer. And so we just acknowledge in prayer at the very end what God's already been speaking to us about. So, and I think, as we mature as Christians, we can move on and then realise that formal prayer is really great, but actually everything we do in prayer. That's why what's in our heart is so important, isn't it? And also to say, if anything that has been said already today, or in that repentance, or even what I said earlier on, has meant anything to anyone today, and you want to have a chat about that, whether that's on the internet or here today, you can get hold of me by going to the website and getting my details there, or you can just stop me and have a chat, and we can have a cup of coffee, go for a walk, whatever we're allowed to do these days. We're going to pray just openly this morning. So maybe before we just started in prayer, is anything on someone's heart right now? Is anything on, has the Holy Spirit put anything on your heart about something we should be praying for? Just put your hand up, and if there's anything that's... Yes?
For everyone living in
Yeah, India, of course. Yeah, absolutely. Everyone living in India. We can be practical in our help there as well, can't we? But we'll be praying, we'll be lifting them this morning. Anyone else? Jack, what should we be praying for this morning? What should we pray for? Any ideas? No? How about your school? Should we pray for your school? I hear the headmistress is really good. Oh, it's not your school anymore. Oh, all right. Okay. Right, well, let's just pray, and then I shall occasionally leave some space for you to lift your own prayers. And actually, if you feel that God's laid something on your heart and you want to pray out loud, feel free to. But let's just come before our God now. Holy Spirit, we welcome you and we acknowledge already the work that you've been doing in this place. We thank you that we can receive forgiveness because of what Jesus did on the cross. As we lift our prayers silently, Lord, would you receive our cacophony of prayers to you? Might they reflect your will for our lives. We lift to you all those who have made a decision to turn to you today. Some who are turning back toward you. Some who are making that decision for the first time. Across the world, Lord, as people turn to you, we thank you for your welcoming of them. We lift to you, India, and we thank you for your work in India. We lift to you our friend Steve Potter as he ministers to other ministers in India and guides them and mentors them. We pray for your spirit upon him and your healing power upon him as well. We lift to you the government of India that they may have wisdom as they seek to fight against COVID. Lift you the governments of the world that they might dig deep and help those countries that have less. Holy Spirit, we lift all of our schools to you. We think locally of Bidbury as they seek a new head. Praying for your blessing upon them, for wisdom in the governors as we seek to find the right person. We pray for other schools and those who are teachers in them. We do lift Polly's school to you, Lord. Thanking you for her time there, praying for your wisdom upon her as she seeks to transition. For the many nationalities represented in that school, we pray for your blessing and your spirit to pour out upon them. Lord, we bring to mind people who are yet to know you, people who we care for. give them to you and ask for your Spirit to be upon them that they might turn towards you. Again, we pray this morning for those who have turned away from you, perhaps even though they have been exposed to your love as they grew up. Let me pray for the parents of those people and ask for your peace upon their hearts. Why don't you just now lift your prayers quietly, if you want. Your prayers for our country and our parish to God. And let's just bring all those prayers together now. Now the Holy Spirit hears us, and we bring them together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Living God, the resurrection of Jesus throws wide the door between ourselves and eternal life. We go through that door today, inheriting from Christ the ambition to serve you totally and to spread your kingdom. Give us, we pray, the power to turn thought into action and ambition into achievement. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
And as we finish our service and move out into the week, let's share together the grace.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all, evermore.
Amen.
Great week, everybody. Remember your coats next week, because it's nice we will be outside.